We're doing Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Mem Gimel Amud Beis in the Ein Yaakov, which is really Daf Tes Zayin in the Gemara. And the Gemara has been enumerating the different additions that the different rabbis would add at the end of prayer. And now we're about to learn about Rabbi Chiya's addition. Rabbi Chiya was a Tana who was a contemporary of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rabbi Chiya paused his own learning Torah in order to go and teach children. He saw that in his time there were children throughout the villages of Israel who did not know Torah. So he made a Machon Meir on wheels. He would travel from city to city and put together 5 children and teach them how to read. And each child, he would write one of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and teach that child, and teach the next child Sefer Shmos, and the next child Vayikra, and the next child Bamidbar, and the next child Varm. 5 kids, he'd teach each one of the books of the Torah, and then he'd say, now teach one another. And he'd take 6 kids who had already known that, older kids, and he'd teach each one of the orders of the Mishnah, and then he'd say, now teach one another. And the Talmud stresses how pure his teachings were then. He planted the flax seeds, and then he harvested the flax, and he made nets from the flax, and he caught deer. He slaughtered the deer, and he made hides, and from those hides he made the parchment of the Torah. And the meat of those, the deer, he'd feed to the orphans. And one of the things we learned from Rabbi Chiya is that when you want to teach Torah, from the very beginning, from the flax that's going to catch the deer, everything has to be pure. There can't be any embezzlement, there can't be any gezel there. Everything has to be pure. That's what Rabbi Chiya did. He prepared works of Torah that were as pure as possible. And when it came time to appoint the chief rabbi, and the rabbis were questioning, should it be Rabbi Chiya or Rabbi Yehuda Anasi? So they opted for Rabbi Chiya. But they didn't want to disrupt Rabbi Chiya from his works, because they said, Gdolim Ma'ase Chiya, how great are the works of Rabbi Chiya, that he's teaching the children. So it's so important that he educate the children. He has to continue doing that work, and we're going to take Rebbe to be the chief rabbi of Israel. And from here we see how important it is that the one who teaches the little kids will be a big Talmud Chacham. Think about it. You need Rabbi Chiya to do that. He could have taken another guy who knows less than Rabbi Chiya. If he's big enough to be a chief rabbi of Israel, how come we need him to be the kindergarten teacher? He's teaching the kids how to read Chumash. From here you see that even teaching the kids how to read Chumash, that's going to affect the whole future of the Jewish people. It's a very big job. When my son was enrolled in Cheder, so after a few days we discovered that the Rebbe of the Cheder is a chassid. So someone asked me, are you upset that you have a chassid teaching your kid? You're not a chassid. So I said, no, actually I'm very happy. If I would have thought about it, I would have davened that his Rebbe should be a chassid. So the guy asked me, why? Said, because us Litvaks, we think you're only accomplishing something if you're learning Talmud, if you're teaching a class to 200 adults. But in truth, it's very important to teach the children. That's what we learned from Rabbi Chiya. It's very important that you have a fine person teaching the kids. And the Hasidim, they grow up with knowledge that the Baal Shem Tov used to teach kids. The Baal Shem Tov used to teach the little children. And they appreciate it. They value it. So I don't want a Rebbe for my kid who's going to walk in and think, gee, if only I was worth something, I'd be teaching adults. I want a Rebbe who's going to walk in every morning and say, Baruch Hashem, I'm doing the most important thing in the world. That was Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was fit to be the chief rabbi of Israel, and yet he went around to teaching the little children Torah, and he changed the face of the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, thanks to him, the Torah wasn't forgotten from the Jewish people. So the Gemara now tells us, what was Rabbi Chiya's addition, when he'd conclude the Shemona Esrei, his own personal addition at the end of Shemona Esrei. So the Gemara says like this, Rabbi Chiya, Batal de Matzle, when Rabbi Chiya would finish after his prayer, after Shemona Esrei, Amar Hachi, he would say the following, Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu, may it be the will before you, Hashem our God, Shetehei Toratcha Umanoteinu, that our profession should be your Torah. The Torah should be our profession. Ve'al yidve libeinu, and our hearts shouldn't be saddened. Ve'al yachshechu einenu, and our eyes shouldn't be darkened. So Chazal tell us, the pasuk says in Eicha, in Lamentations, Al zeh hayad ave libeinu alei lecha shechu einenu. Over the following, our hearts were weeping. Over the following, our eyes were darkened. Al ha'tzion sheshameim. Over the mountain of Zion that has become desolate. What does the mountain of Zion represent? The Beis HaMikdash, we know, was a place of sacrifice. But the Beis HaMikdash was also the greatest center of learning Torah. Whenever we had questions of how to learn the Torah, so we'd go to the Beit HaMikdash. That's where the high court sat. What was it? The Holy of Holies. In the Kodesh HaKodeshim, you had the Ark. And inside the Ark, you had the Torah, you had Luchos. The Holy of Holies, where did God talk to us from? From the Torah. The Kruvim sat on top of the Aron. Inside the Aron, you had the Luchos, you had the Torah. So, Rav Chiya was damning. Our hearts shouldn't be weeping. Our eyes shouldn't darken. We should still have that source of Torah coming for the people. And of course, he's talking in plural. You'll notice that all of Shmona Esrei, we daven and sing in plural, right? Except for Elokai Netzor Leshoni Meira. There, suddenly, we talk in singular. Rabbi Chiya was talking even here in his own personal prayer, he was talking in plural. The Gemara continues to the next generation. Rav, who was a disciple of Rabbi's and Rabbi Chiya's, Bata de Tzlute, after his davening, Amar Hachi, he used to say the following. Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. May it be the will before you, Hashem our God, Shetiten Lanu, that you should give us Chayim Arukim, long life. Chayim Shel Shalom, life of peace. Chayim Shel Tova, life of good. Chayim Shel Bracha, life of blessing. Chayim Shel Parnasa, a life where we could make our livelihood. Chayim Shel Chilutz Atzamot, a life where our bones can act swiftly. Chayim Sheyesh Bahem Yirat Chet, life where we have a fearness of sin. Chayim Shen Bahem Busha Uchlima, life where there is no internal or external shame. And there are things that you do that even if no one's around, you hit yourself on the head and say, what did I do that for? You're embarrassed. There are things that you do that you look, is anyone looking? If no one's looking, you're not embarrassed. That's the difference between busha and chlima. So he prayed, I shouldn't have either forms of shame. Chayim shel osher v'chavod, life of wealth, life of honor. Chayim shetehei banu ahavat Torah v'yirat shamayim, a life in which we have a love of Torah and fearness of heaven. Chayim shetmalei lanu et kol mishalot libeinu letova, a life where you fill all our requests for good. Okay. So let's see line by line. We know this prayer, because this is the prayer we say when we bless the new month. Right? When we do, when we bench Rosh Chodesh and Shul, so we say this. This whole custom of benching Rosh Chodesh, it's unclear where it comes from. The Yekis don't do that. We don't bench Rosh Chodesh. But when we bench Rosh Chodesh, we do say this. So we have to understand this. We do say what we're reading here. Firstly, he asked, give us long life. So what's a long life? If you have a life where a person isn't in pain, so it depends on a person's life. If a person's life is a life of pain, so every minute seems like it's very long. If a person has a life where things are pleasant, so we all know that a good time passes by quickly. So that's why he had to balance. He's about to pray that everything should go good. If everything goes good, maybe life will pass by like a fleeting moment. So he begins his prayer by saying, give me chayim arukim, give me a long life. And then he says, and it shouldn't be long because every minute I'm waiting for it to pass because of all the pain and the suffering, but rather it should be a long life which has a life of peace, a life that's good. And this, all of these really have to be defined. what's Yirat Chet? That's fear of the sin itself. Meaning, sometimes a person could say, I'm scared of the repercussions. If I do something that's improper, God will zap me. Right? So, he wasn't talking about that. He was davening for a level where I understand that this is wrong, this is bad. If I really understand that it's bad, just like I don't want to play with the electric, a person knows, here in Israel, 220, a person could get, God forbid, really hurt. So he's scared because he knows it itself could hurt. So too, that's Yirat Chet. Fear of sin is that he knows the sin itself is something bad, I don't want to touch it. So that's what he was davening for Yirat Chet. A life where there's no shame. So that's a concept that we all have to work for. Sometimes as we grow, we look back at yesterday, at what we did yesterday, or a week ago, or a year ago, and we're very embarrassed. So Chazal say, even the great sages sometimes had times where that's what they were like. That they said, I have history. They were embarrassed of their past. Rabbi Chiya was davening, he was always davening, that he should never have the shame. He should never have to look back and be embarrassed about what he did previously. So on the one hand, we want to grow. On the other hand, we want to be today good enough that I'll never be embarrassed by what I did today. He asks for Ahavat Torah. And I always tell people, don't take it for granted that you'll love the Torah or that the Torah will be sweet. You see here, he davened for it. Rabbi Chiya was one of the greatest sages of his time. And he davened, Hashem, give me the love of Torah. It's not easy to love Torah. Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. We always have to learn it, but it's not always easy to love it. We daven every morning when we make the blessing and we thank Hashem for giving us this mitzvah of learning Torah. What do we immediately say? V'ha'arev no. Hashem, please make the Torah sweet. You gave me a mitzvah, I have to learn it. I have to know how to lead my life. At the same time, we ask Hashem, please, make that Torah sweet. It's not a given that the Torah will be sweet. So we bring in cookies, and we try to learn things that are interesting. We learn Ein Yaakov, but at the end of the day, we also have to learn halachos. We have to know how to lead a correct life. And that's not always easy. So he davened about it. Sometimes we think, well, either it's good or it's not. No. Daven about it. You daven, hopefully you'll get it. A person has to daven that the Torah will be sweet. So yes, give us the love of Torah. And Yiras Shemayim. Even though Yiras Shemayim, on the one hand, that's our responsibility, right? Hakob de Shemayim, chutz mi Yiras Shemayim. On the other hand, we ask Hashem to help us with it. It's something we have to daven for. And then the last point, he says, Hashem, please fulfill the wishes of our heart l'tova, for good. We don't know what's good for us necessarily. A guy could be davening, Hashem, let me into my brigade, I want to be out there in Aza. He doesn't know if it's good for him. A guy could be davening, Hashem, let me win the lottery. Maybe that's the worst thing in the world for him. Very often we don't know what's good for us. So here, this is what the rabbis often quote, Rabbi Chiya's prayer, Rav's prayer. The Rav, after he would add, fulfill the wishes of my heart, litova, for good, because you know what's good. I don't know what's good. Rebbe, we went back a generation. Rebbe batal tzlutei amar hachi. After Rebbe finished davening, he would say the following. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu velokei avoteinu. May it be the will before you, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers, shetatzileini me'azei panim, that you should save me from people who are brazen, who are chutzpedik, u'me'azut panim, and from myself being brazen. Now, let's just skip four lines to the conclusion. The Gemara says, ve'af al gav dekai me'ktzitze alei derebi. This is Rebbe's prayer. Even though Rebbe had, on a steady basis, he had the emperor-appointed guards that would stand there, and whoever Rebbe was upset at, they'd beat him up. Rebbe had the emperor liked Rebbe. Antoninus was Rebbe's good friend. So he gave Rebbe a bunch of officers. If anyone got Rebbe upset, So Rebbe, these guards would beat him up. So you had to behave yourself around Rebbe. And yet, Rebbe says the following prayer: Hashem, save me from people who are chutzpahdik. People shouldn't speak chutzpahdik to me. Chutzpahdik people, it's a problem. You see, Moshe Rabbeinu, when Korach came and started saying, you're doing all this for yourself, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't say anything. He said, Ribon Shom, you got to interfere. What am I going to say? Korach came and claimed you're in it all for yourself. The second someone says that, whatever you say sounds bad. Moshe turned to God and said, God, I can't fight this. You have to prove it, whether I'm right or wrong. So Rebbe davens, Hashem save me from people who are azeipanim, brazen in their face. Umeazutpanim, and from myself being brazen. See that a person has to daven that he himself should also not be chutzpahdik. It's not an easy thing. Our tendency is if someone yells at you, you yell back. And Chazal say a person has to work on that. Chazal say there are three things which are azim, which are brazen. Yisrael azim sheba'umot. The most brazen nation are the Jewish people. Hashem gave us the Torah to control ourselves, but our nature is to be chutzpahdik. Ne'adam ra, save me from a bad person. We don't always know who a bad person is. Sometimes the bad looks good. So Rebbe Davin Hashem, save me from a bad person. Umipegara, and even from a bad encountering. Mechavera, from a bad friend. I don't want to learn from him. We don't necessarily know who a bad friend is at first glance. Avshalom took a bad friend. Amnon took a bad friend. We find in Tanakh often that people's friends led to their demise and led to their destruction. So Rebbe davens, Hashem save me from a bad friend, mi yetzer hara, from bad desire. Bad desire isn't always bad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad, and sometimes we don't know which one it is. So he davens, Hashem save me from it. Mi shachen ra, from a bad neighbor. Chazal tell us sometimes if one's neighbor needs to get punished, so when the missile lands on his house, or when the earthquake causes his house to fall down, God doesn't intervene and make his neighbor's house stay erect. There's a bad neighbor, Chazal say, if he has to get a punishment, so who knows where it'll hit. God doesn't necessarily intervene to protect the neighborhood. So, oy la rasha, oy lishchino, Chazal said, woe to the rasha, woe to his neighbor. Tov la tzaddik, good to the tzaddik, and good to his neighbor. But from Rebbe we see that even though he was a tzaddik, he wasn't so confident that, ooh, all my neighbors will have it good because I'm good. Quite the contrary. He said, who knows? So Hashem saved me from a bad neighbor, and we also know that we're very affected by our neighbors. Chazal always stressed, be careful who your neighbors are, be careful what neighborhood you're in. That's what's going to affect us. Umi satan, Hamashchit, Rebbe Davin Hashem, please save me from the Satan who comes to destroy. Who is the Satan that comes to destroy? It could be all kinds of things. We know the Satan came, according to one opinion, destroyed King Solomon's kingdom. According to one opinion, the Gemara, Shlomo Amar didn't die king. He ended his life outside, no one knew who he was. Satan came in, overtook his kingdom, and Shlomo Amar was, he walked around saying, I'm Shlomo. Everyone said, you're crazy. Ani Shlomo hayiti melech, Shlomo Amar says in Koheles. I was once king. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. Did he ever make it back? In Koheles, he writes, I was once king over Jerusalem. Did he ever make it back to Jerusalem? That's a machlokes. So that's one pshat in Satan. Another pshat is, Chazal tell us that there was a Hadad Edomi. There was an enemy nation that had a child. And the enemy nation was wiped out, but one kid remained. And that kid went out to Egypt, and he amassed an army, and he started having guerrilla warfare against the Jewish people. One guy. But he got everyone aroused. It's enough to have one guy to be Satan HaMashchit. Umidin kashe, from a harsh justice, from a harsh ruling. If he has a court case with his fellow man, so it shouldn't be a tough case. Umibaldin kashe, or a difficult opponent. Even though you might be right, sometimes a guy could take you to court, And you spend so much karchas, you could spend years fighting a guy when he has no right. You're in the right, but that doesn't mean he won't dray you a cup. Mi baal din kashe, you prayed Hashem save me from a difficult opponent in court. Ben shuv, ben brit, ben sheino brit. Regardless whether he's Jewish, he's from the covenant or not. So think about this. This is Rebbe's davening. This davening would fit for the low worker, the guy who has no one protecting him from the courts, the guy who people could pick on. This tells us the Gemara, this is Rebbe's davening. Even though Rebbe had these guards standing there protecting him, nonetheless, this was how he davened. Hashem, let me manage. Now it's interesting, you'll notice that in Rebbe's davening, we have a balance of spiritual and physical. Rebbe's davening for things to work out spiritually and physically. And like the Rambam says, if you want to grow spiritually, you have to manage physically. They go hand in hand. That's why the Rambam says the Torah gives us all the promises that things will work out for us financially and physically, because without that you can't grow spiritually. Rav Safra, Bata Demsayim Tzlute Amar Hachi. When Rav Safra concluded his davening, he'd add the following. Yiratzon mifanech Hashem Elokeinu. May it be the will before you, Hashem, our God. Shetasim shalom bepamalia shel mala. Should make peace in the heavenly courts. Ubefamalia shel mata. Be it a group of officers that are in heaven, or the groups down below, the Talmidei Chachamim down below. So here we see two things. Chazal tell us that war never begins between two nations unless in heavens first there was a fight between the angels representing them. Daniel says that if he saw the angels starting to fight, which was representative of the war that was about to ensue down below. So Chazal tells us that's a rule. You never have a war down below unless in, up above there was a war already between the angels. That's why before Yaakov meets with Esav, he first fights with Esav's Malach. He wins the war with Esav's Malach, so then he could take on Esav the next morning face to face. So Rav Safra, when he davened, he wanted world peace. Notice Rav Safra is praying about the world. He isn't only praying about the Jewish people. He's saying, God in heaven, let there be peace, which will automatically be an indication that down below there will be peace. And then he prays for the rabbis. You walk into a Beis Medrash, there could always be internal fighting. And internal fighting could be we disagree with one another, that's normal in learning. But there could also be politics. In every shul there could be politics. The Avni Nezer writes that the rabbi's job to a great extent is to be the peacekeeper. Melech b'mishpat yamid aretz. Just like a king has a responsibility to maintain peace among the subjects, so to a king, so to a rabbi, to a great extent, his first job in the community is to maintain the peace.
What
I don't know. But sometimes he has to fight. Rav Hirsch went out on an all-out war. He had no choice in his time. Sometimes you have no choice. In general, that's a rabbi's job. So Rav Safra, when he's davening, let there be peace. World peace, and let there also be peace down below in the Beis Medrash. And between the students who are dealing in your Torah, God, they know skim lishma, they know skim shelo lishma. Be it whether they delve in Torah for the real sake of learning Torah, be it that they're delving in Torah and it's not really for the sake of learning Torah. Mechol haoskim shelo lishma, and all those who are delving into Torah and it's not really for the proper reasons. Yiratzon milfanecha. May be the will before you that they should deal in Torah lishma. Now, Chazal tell us that there are two types of shelo lishma. On the one hand, one Gemara says, whoever wants to learn Torah, start shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma ba lishma. A person should start learning Torah even just so he could write it on his resume when he goes for a shidduch. So people ask him, what'd you do? He won't be embarrassed. I was in Israel and I bummed out the year. He could say, I was in Israel learning Torah. So it's not the real reason why a person should learn Torah. But Chazal say, at least do it for that. Start out with the reason that's shelo lishma. And from that, we are confident that if you learn enough, it'll evolve to be lishma. Then you have another Gemara that seems to say the exact opposite. Gemara says, if someone learns Torah and it's not really lishma, it's not for the real purpose of learning Torah, it was better if he would never be created. His mother should have miscarried. Tosas says, how do you rectify the two Gemaras? Tosas says the difference is what kind of shelo lishma. You have a guy who's learning Torah because people should say nice things about him. He's learning Torah because he wants to show off when he comes to the Shabbos meal. He'll show people how much he knows. So that's a shelo lishma that's kosher. We say that'll evolve to something positive. Then you have a guy who's learning Torah because he wants to go around and boss people around and make fights and tell people you're doing wrong and you don't know what you're talking about and here it says like this. A guy like that, Chazal say, his mother should have miscarried. There are two types of lo lishma. There's a shelo lishma which isn't harmful to society. He's not doing it for the best purpose, but we're confident that with time he'll evolve to the best purpose. Then you have a shelo lishma which is destructive to society. That Chazal said, we wish he'd never make it here. So over here, we have to wonder what Rav Safra is talking about. He says, may there be peace in the academy, and be it with those that are learning the Shema or Shelo Lishma, and those who are not learning the Shema, may it be your will that they evolve to being learning the Shema. Which type is it? I don't know. I don't know which one. The Marsha goes into it, which one it is. But the first thought is he's talking about the better Shelo Lishma, right? Those are the ones that there's hope for. But maybe quite the contrary. Maybe he was talking about the worst ones. The ones that you think there's no hope for because they're only learning to be a pain in the neck. So maybe about them he was doubting that they could also evolve to be positive people. I don't know if it's so much a question of listening. Everyone's listening. Yeah. The question is what they're doing with the information they're getting.
To understand how you listen, how you do
that. It's hard.
In the beginning, you have to learn to do often. Yeah. If the nation says we will do, yeah, first you start to do, so you don't know if always before you get somebody who is starting changing others.
Yeah, the truth is. What you're saying is a Gemara we learned earlier. No, we discussed it, but we didn't learn it. We'll get to it. It's later on. The Gemara says that when Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, so they didn't allow anyone into the academy until they verified what kind of person he was. And when Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah became the Nasi, when they impeached Rabbi Gamliel, so then Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said anyone could enter. And only afterwards, if we hear bad things, we'll have to kick him out. But at first glance, we assume everyone's kosher. Anyone who wants to learn could come learn. And that was a machlokas between them. How responsible are you as head of the academy to verify what people are like before they enter? Do you keep the doors locked and say, if you want to enter, you have to go through an interview and we'll find out who you are, etc., etc., etc.? Or do we say, no, you want to come in and learn, you seem like a good guy, we never heard bad things about you, so you can come in. If afterwards we'll hear you're doing improper things, then we'll have an issue. So that was, according to some, that was the argument between Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Gamliel. Let's see if we... should we make a run for it, or we'll run up for Arvit? Three more lines? Because we have 3 minutes. Okay, so we'll try. Rabbi Alexandri... But when Rabbi Alexandri would conclude his prayer, he'd say the following: may it be the will before you, Hashem, our God. You should place us in a corner of light. And don't place us in a corner of darkness. And he's davening about the Jewish people. We're in exile. Where are we going to be? We don't want to be in Siberia. Place us in Israel. Place us in a place where we got room to move. We have a place where there's light. Yeah?
Can I just ask a technical question?
Sure.
When these rabbis would say these prayers, would they say them in Aramaic or they say them in Hebrew and now the Gemara just put them in Aramaic?
Seems like they'd say it in these words exactly. Okay. And they'd say it every day after their prayer, three times a day.
So I guess as modern day people who daven, like we should probably put our own personal prayers in whatever language that we're really comfortable with.
That's a good question. For now, we'll say yes. And if you'll be with us on a Thursday night, I'll be happy if you raise it again, and we'll discuss it at greater length. Because it's a question that deserves a 5-minute answer, which we don't have time for now. So at this stage of the game, we'll say yes. Those are the same words Rabbi Chiya used to say. Our hearts shouldn't weep, our eyes shouldn't darken. Some say this was Rav Amnuna's addition to his prayer. Now we're out of time. We'll continue Bezrat Hashem next week.